Welcome back to Mixed Bag. We're talking about the March 2024 releases, finally. Hi, Isaac. Hi, Francesco.
Hey.
Hello there.
As always, we talk about the games we've played. Not a whole lot for all of us. But
yeah, I didn't really play anything, releases. So... I guess you both can talk. That just shut up this time, because I really didn't play that much.
I mean, the more interesting games are the ones coming out next week, and we've played some of them, right? Like Rise of the Ronin.
Not much we can talk about, so.
Yeah, so of what we can actually talk about, there's Rise of the Ronin, and even then, I can technically only talk about a little bit of it, but it's another Team Ninja game, but now open world and published by Sony, so I think the expectations for it are a bit higher. There's definitely more eyes on it than before.
Yeah.
Yes, a lot
5
of...
exclusive.
Yeah. Like, at least on the Sony side of things, I think a lot of people will be paying attention to it. But, yeah, a lot of the stuff's quite similar to Team Ninja's other stuff. Like, the character creator is basically just what they've been using since Neo, but they keep adding little bits to it every now and then. There's, like, a bunch of systems carried over from other stuff. So, like, you have a bunch of weapons, and each one can have, like, multiple stances. And then there's also the system where you can sort of do like a little animation after you've done a combo to restore some of your like stamina meter, but it's called like Ki in this one, which is from Neo. And then from Wolong, they take the whole parry system, but it's not quite the same for some reason. Like it looks less flashy, but it still pretty much served the same purpose. But yeah, it feels very familiar. They stuck in some better stealth stuff. They've kind of done like what... kind of like what Elden Ring did, where like Sekiro had stealth in it, but they basically put in like a simplified version of that for Elden Ring. So like Rise of the Ronin is kind of like that too. So at the very least, instead of having to like slowly walk behind enemies, you can like sneak, which is this is what I've been waiting for ages, because it was always annoying in like Neo or Dark Souls or whatever, where you have to do any like backstabs, you have to like walk behind people slowly. So I'm glad that's in. It's a little finicky sometimes, but it works. But yeah, like a lot of the gameplay stuff is fairly familiar. You pretty much, it's like they guns and stuff are relegated to like side weapons again. There's no like styles or anything to those, but there is a bayonet weapon which has like a gun on it, but that's just part of like the regular moveset. But yeah, a lot of like familiar like combos and stuff. It feels quite familiar. You have some like special moves and stuff. No magic or anything. None of the Neo Wolong stuff, which feels a bit it's kind of a bit boring, because it's like I kind of want the weird stuff. And yeah, some open world as well. From like the early stuff, it seemed pretty simple. Like a lot of just go here, kill these people. or stab a bunch of people, but they just do the whole Yakuza thing of like after the fight's over, they're like clutching their stomach going, ow, that hurt a bit. The story so far as well seems very Team Ninja-y, where they take like historical stuff, but you kind of just get like thrown into it, and it's very like very kind of like quickly paced, where it just sort of goes from one thing to the next and goes, hey, do you remember, you know this guy? He was a famous person. Hey, you know this guy? He was a famous person.
So there's no real time for character development in the beginning, at least.
Seemingly, yeah. Because that was an issue with, like, Neo Wolong, where they just sort of, especially with Wolong, where they just jump you about a lot and go, like, yeah, here's this guy. Here's this guy. Here's this guy. Here's this guy. And it's like, I think, like, if you have a bit of knowledge of like the history of what's like the time period that everything's set in, it might be kind of cool to see them, but it's still very
well, they still point them out to you, so I guess it's not as exciting
either. Yeah, way. It's like they don't like do much with a lot of the characters, so it's like you could only really have some interest in what's going on sometimes if you like read about the time period, like the whole Bakumatsu period, with like, because it's basically set like early into like Japan opening its borders, like early-ish into that. And it's like kind of an interesting time period for stuff, and it means that it's not just like 100% like Japanese characters. You got a bit of a mix of like there's some like American British characters too. Though obviously the most of the main characters are still Japanese. Yeah, and while it might change for launch, performance is questionable.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it's not the most impressive looking PS5 only game, which to be fair, the PS5 only games aren't really that big of a category. Compared to like everything else on the PS5, like only it, or like PS5 was like the main like target console. It's not very impressive.
But if you compare it to Marvel's Spider-Man 2, for example, that has ray tracing built in the 60 FPS mode,
yeah,
I think it's kind of a different story with Rise of the Ronin.
Yeah, with Rise of the Ronin, ray tracing is locked to its own mode, so it's not like so. Like I think even Spider-Man maybe does it. Some games where they have like a performance mode, and then like
the performance RT mode, yeah, then, like yeah, Ratchet and Clank, yeah,
and then yeah, and then they stick on like ray tracing to those modes. Whereas in this one, it's performance. And then, like, fidelity.
And it doesn't even work that well from what I've seen.
Yeah. And then there's just an extra ray tracing mode, which I am hesitant to touch.
Because yeah, it's already not running
that well. I will give it a look, but I don't have high expectations.
Let's hope they release some patches, because
yeah,
it doesn't seem normal from what you're saying. Maybe we'll improve once it launches.
I mean, we will come to another game later where they actually improved the performance massively on launch day. So it is possible.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Hopefully they actually do that.
Yeah, maybe we can actually talk about Outcast, A New Beginning.
Much I can say. I only played a few hours of it, so.
I played way too much of it last night. Couldn't stop. So, yeah, I played it before it was released. Performance wasn't great. A lot of stuttering. And not just traversal stutter like you have in other games, like in the Dead Space remake, but really heavy stuttering.
Yeah, I did notice a few stutters as well. Not as many as I was expecting, but there were still a few.
Could also be related to me capturing the game at the same time.
Yeah, that could have been it, yeah.
But then,
I have to try it with different settings because I think it was set by default on ultra everything. So
yeah, for me as well.
I already set it to performance and it was improving massively, even though there were still a few stutters in there. So
maybe yeah, was like a, I think 30 gigabyte day one patch, quite big. And yeah, the performance.
They probably improved it on launch then, yeah.
I also tested recording it, and I didn't get any of those stutters anymore, so I guess they fixed that. So what's it all about? It's about Cutter Slate being transported in a different dimension back on Adelpha in the same planet like in the first game. I think it was released like in 1999. Haven't really played the original much.
Yeah, I didn't play it either, but I think they said it's a sequel to the first game.
And there was also a remaster in 2017, I think. I think the rights were a big issue, getting the rights back to the original developer, Appeal Studios. But in the end, they got it, and they released Outcast 1.1, and then in 2017, Outcast Second Contact.
Okay, so it wasn't completely random. There was... They actually did bring back the first game. Okay.
Yeah.
That was a thing I was wondering about, but I...
The naming is maybe not the best, yeah, having the first game named Second Contact, and now we have A New Beginning. I think initially it was called Outcast 2, would have been maybe the better title.
Probably. But they probably figured out nobody played the first game, so we may just as well put a different subtitle.
Exactly, maybe. And you don't necessarily need to play it, you get a lot of flashbacks in the game. And yeah, you got 7 different villages, a lot of different biomes there. And combat is pretty fun, mostly reliant on guns.
Yeah, from what I'm seeing, I think the melee combat tends to be a bit limited. I think it encourages you to just use guns. But
yeah,
maybe it will improve with some power-ups I don't know. I only played a few the first 2 hours, so I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I played like 8 hours.
That's just my first impressions. So,
so I finished like 2 of the 7 villages, and then after you did all of the quests for each village, which are interconnected as well, so probably a game that's difficult to write a guide for. Luckily, I don't have to do that. yeah, probably need like 8 more hours to finish it by that, in that pace that it's going right now. The mission design is quite varied. Got a lot of fetch quests, though, at in the start of the game. That's not great. Or go there and kill that. But later on, you can actually... I don't know how much I want to spoil, but yeah, you can use the Galenta. Yeah. the Galenta that you need to feed in the beginning, you have that egg, maybe you already found it. Once that hatches, get a support character. And you can call it at any time. You can mount it and use it to take down convoys of alien spaceship or human spaceships, who are actually the aliens here on Adelpha. The invaders, how they call them, I think.
Yeah, it's invaders.
Yeah, but apart from that, the other part of the story with the evil general who actually killed Cutterslade twice already, I don't know how that actually works. Yes. With the different dimensions and stuff, it's not that interesting. But it's more interesting to get to know more of the talents of the different parts of their culture and stuff. That's pretty well done, I think.
I guess we shall see how it develops yet.
Yeah, I still have to play a massive chunk of it as well. Yeah, you talked about the undockables, the upgrades. Not a huge fan right now of what you can actually do. Of course, you have different...
There didn't seem to be that many options. So
yeah.
That's where my doubts lied in the combat system. But
you can affect traversal a lot in the upgrades, because you really do a lot of traversal in that huge game world. That makes sense. But from a combat point, there aren't that many upgrades, sadly. Also, no new weapons, really, that you unlock. Not a lot.
I unlocked one weapon. I guess the fear of it being repetitive quickly, then. There doesn't seem to be that many options. So.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
It's nice to explore that world, and the dialogues are interesting. Sometimes a little unfitting how Cutterslade reacts to the characters, like really rude suddenly, out of nowhere. But I guess, yeah, that makes his charm. But yeah, from a combat perspective, I'm not a huge fan of the game. But you can also unlock quickly lots of fast travel means, so you don't actually... Like in the beginning, you are a lot... It's more like Death Stranding. You're traveling more than you actually fight, but that changes quickly. So overall, I think
we are worth connecting the worlds.
Yeah, but not for everybody. Yeah, and the other game that I played was divisive. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I was saying, I guess it's gonna be a divisive game.
Yeah, it is. If you like the first game, you will like this one. Maybe it's also very different from the first game, actually. The first game was very condensed, not that huge world that you have now in that game. And way less dialogue from what I remember. I only played like the same amount of time that I spent now with the sequel, with the remake or remaster. Not sure if it's a remake or remaster. Probably more a remake, because it's
a remake is just a very old engine. Game.
Yeah.
But I'm not familiar with it, so...
And the other game that I played is Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection. So those are also 20-year-old
games. That's also being a bit divisive right now.
Yeah. They haven't really done too much to them. Only the 2-player split screen.
And only 3 servers at launch. Bravo.
Right. At least they extended that a bit. But yeah, very weird online part of the game.
I don't think they even apologize for how they launched it. Like I said, yes, we had problems, we are fixing them.
Yeah.
Like, okay, just a sorry, maybe? People spend money on this game.
Right.
It's so weird.
Hopefully yeah, after a match you get thrown out of servers, and then sometimes they reappear, and sometimes they don't. And then for like half an hour, there is no server available for you to play.
What is even happening?
Yeah, and we're a few days after launch, so you can't really do excuses that it's still launch day. The same doesn't apply for the second game, so that's mostly the first game. The second game always has servers, and more players are also playing it. Yeah, I think they are still more fun than the EA reboot games. No microtransactions there, but they could have done a
lot more. That's not saying much, honestly. Like, yeah. They just re-released the older games. It has so many problems, so...
It has the same bugs even as the original PS2 games.
They didn't even bother fixing those bugs.
No. Nope. And actually on PC...
The modders actually fixed those bugs back then. And they didn't bother fixing them for the...
They're mostly the same games that were already on PC, just without GameSpy servers. Which actually run a lot better than these now. Yeah, hopefully they would still put
out some tips. They figure things out.
Yeah.
Or they start developing a game, actually.
Yeah, and I don't think we will see any Star Wars Battlefront 3.
Most likely.
Pandemic isn't here anymore. Both the developer and the other thing.
Their sense of pride and accomplishment wasn't a tie, I suppose.
Yeah. Maybe the Saboteur will be the next remaster that we will see. Well, it's not even a remaster.
They actually brought it back on PC.
Oh, yeah.
It went back from the dead, so maybe they're testing waters on the Saboteur.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I've played.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I played as well. I guess I didn't play myself. I won't even bother. It's just the older thing. Just a bit more of Tekken 8, but there's not that much more to be said about it. So, yeah.
Okay.
That's really it.
Let's come to the March releases. The Thaumaturge, I hope that's pronounced correctly.
Was yeah, I think so, yeah.
Surprise release. Pretty popular.
Yeah, it looked cool from what I've seen. From what I've heard, it's like it's not one of the ones where they like pretend like there's choices that matter. Like they might actually matter for a change.
Yeah, and it's a very unusual setting in 1905 in Poland.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. And it's coming out during a pretty good time. Like I think like any of these sorts of games, if they're like pretty decent, like anything coming out after... Baldur's Gate 3. I feel like a lot of like these like more PC style RPGs should do pretty good. Yeah. As long as they actually are decent too.
Yeah, hopefully they just aren't riding the wave of Baldur's Gate.
Yeah. Well, I'd imagine a lot of these games were just in development.
I mean,
for a
you
while
can't really develop a game like Baldur's Gate in a few short times. So
yeah.
There's also that.
Yeah, it's like definitely like I think it would be like a smaller scale one, probably shorter too. So it's like I think that, yeah, the games like this should do pretty well now.
Yeah, it makes sense. As long as it's done well, a shorter experience should also be fun.
Yeah, speaking of remasters, we also got the Stalker Legend of the Zone trilogy, which came out as a shadow drop as part of an Xbox conference, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, it was shadow. Yep. I think it leaked lightly.
A few hours before.
It was
Japanese retailers actually put it on sale. The physical edition of PlayStation, but it wasn't
really heard much about the quality of the ports.
I haven't seen much. No,
I think from what I heard, they're basically just the same-ish games. Like they didn't do that much to improve them. They basically just port them to console, and that's it.
Yeah, no Switch. Just the PC.
Yeah,
no Switch. But like, yeah, if you have a Switch on PC, if you like. The requirements aren't too high. It's like obviously you can mod it and stuff, download like fan expansions and things.
Rip Switch.
Yeah, and that makes us hopeful that Stalker 2 actually comes to PlayStation 5 as well at some point.
I mean, it's pretty much a guaranteed. I think the Xbox is just a temporary exclusive, they said. They never said it was a full-on exclusive.
Oh, okay.
And I'm pretty sure the release of the trilogy is also to actually test waters for a PlayStation release. Like, in the meantime, we'll just release this one.
Let's see how well it does. The same for As Dusk Falls, which ended Xbox exclusivity this month. Haven't tried it yet. It's on Game Pass as well.
It's not like an FMV one, right? But it sort of uses like kind of like realistic kind of art.
Yeah.
I remember.
And it has that co-op mode, just like in the House of Ashes and similar games.
Yeah, which I don't think is a bad idea, really.
Yeah. Could be a thing for the next Life is Strange, maybe as well.
Potentially.
If there will be any.
Still alive.
But yeah, we also got the remaster. I don't know if it's a remaster, but a port of Valiant Hearts Coming Home, bundled with the first game in a collection for pretty much everything.
Yeah, basically just them getting getting out on
out of Netflix.
Anything and everything they can.
Yeah. Yeah, I've held back playing it via Netflix since it's only on Android and iOS. So, looking forward to play that. Unfortunately, we haven't got a copy.
RIP.
I think it was such short notice that maybe not every part of Ubisoft actually was supplied with codes for press. And like a real sudden release with no announcement before. Yeah.
Not quite, but yeah.
Paint the Town Red VR looks interesting. Kind of like Hotline Miami in VR.
Yeah, like so Paint the Town Red, it's sort of just like it pretty much is just like a, you know, like a first person sort of you just beat up a bunch of people thing. Like it's not like really too serious. It does like seem like an
super
okay
hot
bit.
Meets Hotline Miami, maybe.
Well, it's more like cartoony violence, I suppose.
Yeah,
like, it's all like real time. Doesn't have like the whole time. I can't remember. I remember some games ended up adding in like super hot modes where, like, you know, had the whole like time only moves when you move.
Okay.
I can't remember if this was one or I've seen it in a few others, but yeah, it's like. It's pretty much just one of those sort of like mild, like stress reliefy sort of games, which yeah, like probably a decent fit for VR, really.
Yeah. Hi-Fi Rush is also another game breaking the Xbox boundaries and came to a PS5 or will come tomorrow.
Yeah, it's
one of those three games, I think.
Yeah, the Hi-Fi Rush. I forgot the name of it now, the pirate one.
Sea of Thieves and the Obsidian game.
It's like, I'm trying to remember the names of like the games I haven't played. It's like,
Pentiment.
Yeah, that's the one, Pentiment. And Grounded too, that's another one.
Yeah, right.
That's getting brought over to stuff. But yeah, it's like, it's kind of cool to see a bunch more ports of those ones, especially like Hi-Fi Rush.
Yeah, Hi-Fi Rush was great.
I'm still surprised it managed to do as well as it did, like shadow dropping just
not really, really expected it.
Yeah.
It turned out to be one of the best games of last year, so.
So I need to play more of it.
It's quite different from the last games as well. no horror.
Yeah, it was something nobody really saw coming, precisely.
Yeah. It's cool. They just straight like because it's rare that you can actually get like a full shadow drop like that without it being leaked ahead of time.
I mean, there were some copyright leaks. Like there was a mysterious Hi-Fi Rush back then, but nobody really knew what it was. So
yeah,
it was still a big surprise.
Speaking of horror, we're getting a reboot of Alone in the Dark. I think it's a reimagination of the first game.
Yeah, sort of like. Kind of like its own thing. I think it includes some maybe like some bits and pieces from the second and third games, but like doesn't really try and do the stories of those fully because they got a bit weird. Go like zombie cowboy stuff, but yeah, and like they have both protagonists actually like be kind of important equally this time, from what I know, because it's sort of like you had like one actual character in the first one, then the other one, or like they were both kind of interchangeable or whatever.
And here you actually have to do two runs to see everything.
Yeah, so it's definitely interesting. I'm kind of wondering how it'll turn out considering the delays and stuff. Like, it definitely has a chance to be good. I don't think there's like as many expectations riding on it as like the Silent Hill 2 remake, because this is obviously more kind of deliberately trying to be its own thing. It's like another reboot. It's the third game that's called Alone in the Dark. Yeah, this one, the really weird, like, the one set in modern day. And then, yeah, there's now this one that's a, sort of a reboot, reimagining sort of deal.
I haven't played any of them, but this one will be my first.
Yeah, well, the original is very, it's quite very old. The one that was on, like, Xbox 360 and stuff was very weird and very unfinished. And then, yeah.
Let's hope the PC port of Horizon Forbidden West Complete Edition will be more finished, unlike other PlayStation ports on PC. But most of them are actually pretty fine, the one of Forbidden West. What's the first game called?
Zero Dawn.
Call of the Mountain, Zero Dawn, yeah.
Yeah, because that one initially was a bit iffy, because it was their first actual main one. And it had some issues at launch. I think it released maybe a little too soon.
Yeah, Marvel Spider-Man was pretty fine. The Last of Us wasn't, so would be a surprise. We will probably be covering it, but it looks like closer to launch then. The same could apply to Dragon's Dogma 2. On March 22nd, we're getting a lot of games. Dragon's Dogma 2, Princess Peach Showtime, and Rise of the Ronin, which we've already covered.
Yeah, these three seem to be the big ones of the month.
Well, I feel like Princess Peach Showtime's probably... like, it's obviously a Nintendo game, but I'm not really seeing that much interest in it relative to a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
It's not saying.
I mean, they're pretty much advertising it as a game for Princess Peach, like a garish game, but
yeah,
the people can also enjoy...
it looks okay, but yeah, it's definitely sort of like.
It's there.
Yeah. It could be worse.
Oh, yeah. It seems fun, but I don't think they're selling it to be like the new Super Mario World or whatever. It's just Princess Peach. Like, it's there.
The DS one.
It's gonna be probably fun. Don't much to say. Probably won't be that much groundbreaking. It's just there.
Yeah, and then Dragon's Dogma 2 will be interesting performance-wise, how it performs.
Yeah, because it's one of those games where all of the footage they've shown ended up having noticeable frame rate issues.
Yeah.
I remember Helldivers 2 was a lot like that. Whenever they showed it, it always looked like it was running
right. But then it ran great.
Yeah, the performance was actually way better for the launch version. So I'll assume it was just an in-development thing, but usually they usually try and have the pre-release stuff look nice. So
yeah, the first game had huge performance issues.
With Helldivers or Dragon's Dogma?
Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah, because the 360 PS3 versions of Dragon's Dogma ran pretty poorly and had the black bars at the top and the bottom. To try and make performance slightly better. It's it cut off the top and the bottom, so it's just it still ran badly. That is going to be the main thing with Dragon's Dogma 2, because I think a good chunk of the popularity for the first game ended happening with all the ports, especially the PC port. But especially with the PC version, by the time that version came out, getting the game to run really well wasn't too difficult, especially nowadays.
Yeah.
So, with Dragon's Dogma 2 coming out and having the really high system requirements and stuff, it's going to be interesting to see how everything turns out, because the requirements are pretty high.
Nobody's going to run it.
Well, that's the thing. I think the recommended requirements were an RTX 2080. So it's I don't even remember what like the recommended settings are targeting. Like definitely not 4K 60. So it's like, yeah, it's gonna be interesting. But it is cool to actually have a new Dragon's Dogma, because the only thing in between this and the first game was Dragon's Dogma Online, which doesn't exist anymore. That one had a Persona 5 crossover. It killed it. I can't believe it. But yeah. Cool for more Dragon's Dogma to exist. It'd be interesting to see if they ever announce any like, expansions and stuff for it, but I don't think anything's been said yet. It's just more just like a wait and see.
Yeah, and the same applies, wait and see, for South Park Snow Day, which we've already played, but we can't really talk about it now, but you will see a video of it quite soon.
I think they've showed a little bit more recently.
Monday in a week?
Yeah. But it's been very, like, relative to the previous two South Park games, they've definitely been a bit more vague on what it is.
Which yeah, exactly.
I don't think it's been helping it, really.
First two games were pretty much RPGs by Obsidian. And this one is much different. It's more like a roguelike action game for up to four players.
Yeah,
it's all I will say.
Yeah, a very different art style. Like going 3D again. But it's been a while.
It looks actually pretty nice, the 3D art style. They combine it with 2D, like TV show episodes, kind of cutscenes.
The cutscenes, yeah.
Yeah, works pretty well together, the look. I think.
They went for a 3D world, so I guess it was a considerable option to take.
More on that on March 25th on our YouTube channel.
Yes.
And that's almost it for this month. I guess we get Open Roads, which has been delayed for a while.
When was that originally supposed to release?
I think the last release date was in February. Then they moved it for another month.
Yeah, because I remember there being some issues with like development at one point. Like something to do with one of the people working on it or something. That was a little bit ago, like a year ago or something.
Yeah, it feels fitting that it comes out in the same month as Dusk Falls for PlayStation. Kind of a similar vibe. But a more retro look.
I guess like another interesting one that comes out like near the end would be Bulwark. Falconeer Chronicles, because it's quite like I never played the original, but I did see bits and pieces of the Falconeer, which was more of like a sort of like a flying game, but like you played as a big bird, or I think it's like a guy riding a big bird, and maybe some other animals and stuff. But this one is more of like a city builder sort of thing. With like a unique sort of visual style and whatnot.
Getting Skull and Bones vibes from the pirate ships.
Yeah, Bulwark, it's like it still has like the whole like big falcons and stuff, but yeah, more of a focus on the city building side of things. It looks like pretty chill. It doesn't look, it's probably like an okay sort of beginner city builder. Like not too complicated, and probably more stuff going on visually to make it more interesting.
Yeah, and it also has Twitch integration features, like NPCs named after the viewers. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, because I think there's like a full sort of like system for like NPCs.
And a custom avatar with simple lip sync as well, responding to your microphone even. And there's also a free demo on Steam.
Yeah, the demo's been, I think it's one of those ones that it popped up during like one of the Next Fest. But they never took it down because technically they never have to, but I think they've been updating it every now and then. Like a lot of the demos go down because they're not really, they're quite like early demos or like kind of wonky.
Yeah, speaking of demos, there's also a new demo for the Darkest Files that I streamed today, which kind of consists of half of the previous demo, unfortunately. But yeah, and you will be able to play the entire first act from March 19th if you back it on Kickstarter.
That's kind of cool. It has a nice like visual style.
Yeah. I guess the topic is not for everybody. It's not like won't be a Steam in the Steam top charts right away. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, it's definitely more of like a niche sort of thing, but yeah. It's pretty cool.
I guess we covered most of this month's releases.
I suppose so, yeah.
There's also Unicorn Overlord, which we completely overlooked.
Oh, that's yeah, right. I forgot about it.
It's yeah, I'm definitely
it's one game I want to play, but I didn't yet.
Yeah, I definitely want to play it eventually. But yeah, I'll pick it up eventually. I kind of wish it came out on PC, but it's a vanillaware game, so like it will probably never come out on PC, which is unfortunate. But
they hate PC.
Yeah, I get that there's like a limited amount of ports that can be made at once, but it just seems like there's no attempt at all has been made. But at the same time, it took a very long time for any Atlas stuff to finally get ports. So. Yeah,
eventually maybe tail.
Yeah, I'm basically
to wise
like,
up.
Yeah, maybe it's just cope, but like I'm kind of like hopefully they'll do like one of them first and then it'll like open the floodgates, but I wouldn't really like I wouldn't really expect it. Like I feel like if they wanted to do one smaller one, they should just go for like Dragon's Crown or something first.
Yeah.
But
Dragon's Crown will make sense. Not on PC. Wow.
Yeah, again, vanillaware will not they have nothing on PC, so like none of that, no Odin Sphere.
I wonder how they even develop their games. They probably don't even have a PC at this point.
Yeah, well, obviously, yeah, like it would have been nice if they made it. Like I feel like with Unicorn Overlord's been getting like one of those ones. It's the same thing that happened with like 13 Sentinels, except it's actually happened before launch for them this time, where like word of mouth's really helped them out. I think the demo did a lot.
The demo helped a lot, yes.
Yeah, and the fact that it's like a global release, because like 13 Sentinels was Japan only for a while. But even that started getting ported to a few other consoles. It's like, definitely like on the porting side, a little bit more has been happening. It's just no PC still. Maybe it'll happen eventually, but at least in the case of like Unicorn Overlord and like stuff like that, vanillaware games, it's like one that still runs fine on like Switch and things if you wanted to play on that, and like have a portable version outside of like, because it's like I'd like to play it portably, but I'd also like to wait and see if it comes to PC, so then I could just play it on
Steam Deck
or whatever. Yeah, anyway. Right. But yeah, it looks cool. It's very like Tactics Ogre rather than Fire Emblem, but that's a franchise that's basically barely exists now anyway. So
yeah. Like that on PCP, but it's been a while, like 14 years.
So it's like. It's definitely filling a niche. It's very different from their last strategy game too. So it's like they do like to do lots of different stuff. Like it's very different from 13 Sentinels and from Grim Grimoire, which have both had strategy stuff. And like maybe their next game will probably be really different again as well.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool. But
there's been some controversy regarding the localization, and the team has been getting a lot of hate and even had to put their accounts on private on
Twitter. I think it's a stupid critic.
Yeah, like most localizations.
They didn't even change that much. Like, what are you complaining about?
Yeah, I didn't get that as well.
These words into English words. They changed every word in the game. it's
like, I've seen bad localization as a Fire Emblem fan. A lot of Fire Emblem fans can relate, especially on Fates, but this is not one of them. This is not bad localization.
And like even Fates, just localization. Like a lot of the stuff was still fine, but then there was just
They just did a few controversial stuff. Like one support was completely removed to put a strong support. Like why? Why did you do that?
But
do you think you are funny?
a lot of the controversy is just not a whole lot of nothing really. It's just like. But yeah,
they just want something to
complain
about.
Yeah.
Yeah, to find the big bad evil in gaming, I suppose.
Yeah,
and another Another game that we haven't talked about is Contra Operation Galuga.
I keep forgetting that exists.
Yes.
Is it a remake or is it something new? I forget.
I'm not sure, but I think it's supposed to be sort of a newish game.
Yeah.
Maybe a rebootish.
Yeah, they're specifically going with reimagining.
Yeah.
It's basically based on the first game, but with redone visuals and more stuff. So it's kind of like it uses the first game as a base, but then kind of branches out more.
It doesn't look bad, but from what I've heard, it's not the best Contra game ever.
I do think the visuals are not the best.
No.
It's some stuff actually I think transferred over okay, but some of the other stuff looks very cheap relative to the 2D sprites of the original and some of the other games.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what to think when I first saw it, so
yeah,
I just waited for some opinions.
None of those cases where I was like, I'd prefer if it was a 2D, 2D sprites and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But
call me a boomer, but yeah, that's the route I would have went. Or something like Street of Rage 4, that kind of art style also looks great, but
yeah.
I mean, the last good Contra game was maybe Hardcore Uprising. But then Contra Rogue Core wasn't that well received from what I've heard.
That's an understatement.
Yeah. It basically killed the franchise.
Yeah, it
was the Metal Gear Survive of Contra, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, because Hardcore Surprising was a weird one, because it was even that was ages ago, but it was not even a full Contra game, really. It was but it was a bit of a weird one, basically. Yeah. But it was the last more traditional-ish Contra game in a very long time, because Rogue Course just sort of it's just another game that has the Contra name for reasons. But don't know what they were thinking there really, but yeah, it's cool to see. And
hopefully this time they actually nailed the Contra formula.
Yeah.
Hopefully this time is actually a Contra game. Let me correct myself.
Yeah. it's using the original game as a base and then kind of working from there. It's depends if a lot of the old stuff is pretty similar. It depends what the new content's really. I mean, the original Contra wasn't particularly easy. So the balancing's always going to be a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, overall, a few interesting games this month.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Don't know why a bunch are releasing on one day, but aside from that...
I guess putting Final Fantasy XIV one day before Dragon's Dogma 2 wasn't the best choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Xbox.
And the Xbox version of 14 is also really weird.
That's where I need to say, hey, nobody plays Final Fantasy 14 on Xbox. Therefore, Xbox players aren't interested in this Square Enix game.
Yeah, I think the beta did pretty well, but yeah, a bit of a weird release time. And the Xbox version has the unfortunate thing of requiring you to be sub to, I suppose it's sub to Game Pass because of how they do it now.
But I think the PlayStation has the same issue with PS Plus. No?
No, that's the thing. That's what's so weird about it. It's
Make me pay for the subscription.
Yeah,
included in Game Pass Core.
Yeah, you're required to be sub to Game Pass.
That's so weird. Oh my god.
But on PlayStation, you don't need it.
I thought you needed PS Plus.
Nah. So for a 14 on PS on PlayStation, they have a bonus reward where you can get a free teleport location in game if you're sub to PS Plus, but you don't need PS Plus. You just pay the sub, or you don't even pay the sub if you're playing the free trial. So it's a lot of the reason why 14 wasn't on Xbox for a while was because of different issues. I think at one point the issue was that Microsoft required there to be specific servers for only Xbox users, and Square Enix were no. FFT was no, that's not happening. So yeah, I guess they had to kind of compromise with this. I don't know why it's like that, but I think
may be onto something. Maybe that's the reason.
I think maybe they were just well, okay, fine, you can make it so that people have to have another subscription because reasons. It wouldn't even be as bad
because
if they
we
had...
need money.
Like, it would be fine if they included most of the game via Game Pass. Like,
yeah,
whatever like the mid tier is called now, not like core. Like, they've jumbled it all into one with Xbox Live or whatever.
Well, that's just core and ultimate, I think. Or for console or
yeah, PC. There's also Game Pass for console, which doesn't include the multiplayer online, but it has the regular Game Pass catalog.
Yeah.
It's in a weird spot.
Oh, like it's all over this. Yeah, but yeah, it's like if
the console one doesn't enable you to play online.
Nope, that's the weird part. Yeah, you either need Game Pass Ultimate or Game Pass Core to play online.
I thought
Game
the main
Pass Core is the
was
previous Live Gold,
and
so
EA Play
just be rebranded.
Yeah,
it's all a bit weird. Releasing the day before like Dragon's Dogma 2. Obviously, like Rise of the Ronin doesn't matter for the Xbox side of things, but I don't know how well Dragon's Dogma 2 is going to sell initially. There is definitely a lot more hype for it than there ever was for.
Yeah,
the
they managed to hype it really well. I mean, imagine it's going to sell some copies.
It'll sell copies of the updated versions of the Xbox Series and the PS5. But yeah, it's cool to see 14 come out on Xbox, even with the whole subscription nonsense, like extra. But
I guess it's the most hyped game of the month, so
yeah,
it's probably going to sell.
Yeah, it being cross-platform.
I'd say around something like Street Fighter 6, something around those numbers.
Yeah, it's
probably.
It's going to be an interesting one. Yeah, I'd be interested to see if they release.
If it actually turns out to be an amazing game, then it's going to sell a lot more. But
yeah,
I'd say at least those numbers.
Yeah, it would be cool if they ever got a new DLC, because like the DLC for the first game was pretty good and improved some of the base game stuff too. So it's like, they could do it that way. Or at least maybe they can just like patch the base game to be better and also release a DLC separate. But yeah, it's just cool that it's actually happening after all this time now. It's been a while since the first game.
Yeah, finally, time to finish Dark Arisen.
The actual Dark Arisen content isn't too long, at least. I suppose even base Dragon's Dogma isn't crazy long.
Yeah. Okay, so that's March.
Pretty good month.
Yeah,
in March
to catch up.
At least it's not as condensed as last year. You all remember that. Every game releasing on March.
Yeah, and it's like I suppose there's plenty of time for new stuff to get announced for next month and the month after, but it's not quite as crazy. But it's there's still always a lot of new stuff happening.
Yeah, we'll probably get a lot of announcement on June 7th when Summer Game Fest kicks off.
Probably, yeah. And even but just between now and then, there's plenty of time for just random stuff to get announced.
Right. Okay. Thanks for joining me, guys.
Yep.
See you next time.
See you next time.
Next time. Baby.